Good morning. Turkey used to be a Christian nation. It's now 95% Islamic. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to give you an introduction to Islam. I'm a little bit nervous today. I'm usually not nervous. I'm usually excited, but I'm a little bit nervous today. And the information I'm going to give you is directly from the Islamic sources, so I can show you that. And if you have any questions, I'll hang around as long as there are questions if anybody wants to ask me. So two summers ago, I was in... Two summers ago, I was in Maryland and talking to Sharon's brother. We're best friends when we lived in Maryland. Among the topics, I asked him what he's reading these days. So he brought a book out by Rosaria Butterfield. I don't know how many of you know Rosaria Butterfield then. Was lesbian author and came to Christ by talking to a pastor. And in a way, it's similar to the story today. And he also brought this book out, Robert Spencer's The Complete Guide to the Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. So I read that. And then I started reading more. I found Nabil Qureshi's book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, and read that. And then I found Bill Warner, and he has three different levels of studying Islam. These are the books for the first level of studying Islam. And then Nabil's second book, Answering Jihad, is a really, really good book as well. And if you'd like to look at any of these, you can come up front and afterward take a look at them. And I also brought 9 copies of Nabil's book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. If you promise me that you'll read it in the next 3 months, you can have a copy. So I've got 9 of them there, and if we run out, I'll buy more if people want to. So my reaction to learning about Islam, was first just being shocked at the things that are taught, at the things that they believe. And then I became really angry for a long time, And finally, the Lord showed me the right way to look and think about the people who hold this view. There but by the grace of God go I. And that's really what I want us to talk about today. So first of all, what's the difference between the term Muslim and Islam? And the Muslims, the people who follow the teaching of Islam, out of 7-8 billion people on the planet, 1.6 billion people are Islam, follow Islam, whereas Islam is the teaching. And it's actually not just following Allah, but Islam is following Muhammad as well, because Muhammad is the perfect man in every way, in everything he said, and in everything he did. So he's to be followed perfectly. So is this the real Islam? Ahmadiyya Muslim Association, love for all, hatred for none. This was the sect to which Nabil Qureshi belonged. Or is this the real Islam? Slay those who hate Islam, Europe you'll pay. Butcher those who mock Islam, Europe, you will pay. Your extermination is on its way. I think this is protest from London, though. This is not Middle East. This is London. So the truth is, both are Islam. There are two Islams. There are two Qurans. There are two Muhammads. And this thing's not clicking now. So in Mecca, Muhammad was a religious teacher. He was outnumbered. He was in the minority. And then after 12 years, he moved to Medina and became more and more aggressive. And he became a politician and a military leader who practiced jihad when he was in the minority. So, first of all, how are we to treat Muslims? Isn't that obvious? We're to love them. How are we to treat anybody who disagrees with Scripture? You know, I thank God that my friends, when I was an atheist, and I went to a Bible study where I became a Christian because I wanted to watch my best friend, or one of my friends at that time, mock the Christians. That's why I went to this Bible study where I was converted then. There by the grace of God go I. So here's Nabil Qureshi with his best friend David Wood. They were on a debate team together at Old Dominion University. This is after a debate here on the right-hand side. They're going over the notes. And David became a friend with Nabil Qureshi for 3.5 years. Instead of our inclination is we find somebody who's different from us, we find somebody who is gay, we find somebody who is Islamic, we find somebody who has abortions, and we tend to turn away from them, when in fact what we should be doing is turning toward them and befriending them as David Wood did. And if you've not watched David Wood's testimony, I'd encourage you to get on YouTube and prepare to have your hair blown back, because he became a Christian in jail after he tried to murder his father with a ball-peen hammer. So that changed his... He was changed. So here's a picture of David baptizing Nabil after 3.5 years of friendship with this guy, best buddies, spending all their time together at Old Dominion University. So that's how we treat Muslims is one thing. How do we treat Islam is something else, and I'm having a hard time with this. Could you pick that? Is it possible to pick that computer up and set it on the edge? There we go. Well, I was using this one, but... Okay, so our contention again is with Islam, not with the people. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So, what does Islam teach? Nominally, Islam teaches that there is no God but Allah. And a person is a Muslim merely by saying the Shahada. And there's the Shahada. If you say the Shahada, you're a Muslim. You're in. First, we must believe that there's no God except Allah. There's one God and not more than one. Okay, so the Quran is Allah's revelation to himself, right? So what does the Quran teach? The Quran teaches, well, Islam says that the earthly Quran is a copy of the Quran in heaven, and the original is called the mother of the book. It is co-eternal with Allah, which presents its own philosophical questions. But the Quran on earth is claimed to be an exact, perfect copy of the mother of the book that's in heaven. And for our purposes, it's the sequel to God's prior revelation. So the Torah and your Bible that you believe in has been replaced by the Quran. Your Bible is filled with errors. If you do believe your Bible, you are not a Christian. The fact is that this was an oral religion. It didn't start to be written down until a long time after Muhammad died, and they found that there were many different versions of the Quran. And they found out that some of the best reciters had been killed in battle. And so there were many different religions. And when it was finally accumulated, all the alternate versions were burned. So talk about burning the Quran. The founders of Islam burned the Quran so there would be no variety. So you would only have one. So unlike Christianity, we have tremendous evidence for the originality of the scripture, because there's so many manuscripts, you can go back and trace it. That's not true in Quran. So, So, if I want to read, understand Islam, do I start by reading the Quran? And the answer is no. Forget the Quran, because there's no time in the Quran. There's no chronology in the Quran. The Quran, when these sayings of Muhammad were collected, supposed sayings of Allah were collected, they arranged them from the longest to the shortest. Now imagine taking the chapters of a Bible and arranging them from longest to shortest and reading it that way. So you can't read the Quran. There's almost no story in the Quran. Much of it is war poetry. There's no storyline. And if Muhammad forgot something, God would give him a new revelation that would replace the earlier one that was given. So this is the Quran, Surah 2, verse 106. When you see the references, they're from the Quran. Nothing in our revelation, even a single verse, do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, but we bring in place one better, or the like thereof. So the last word can supersede prior words. So you won't know if there's no chronological order unless you get online and go to places and search chronological order of the Quran. Then you'll get it in order. So what does Islam teach? There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Second, we must believe that Muhammad is the messenger that was sent by Allah. He was sent to tell the people about Allah and how to be good people. Well, I don't know about that so much. The Quran teaches that Muhammad is to be followed in all matters. Muhammad is the perfect Muslim, Bill Warner. Every Muslim is to imitate Muhammad in every way, in every detail of his life. That includes which shoe you put on in the morning. That includes how you go to the bathroom. That includes everything. To be a true Muslim is to follow Muhammad in everything that was recorded about how he lived his life. Say, Muhammad, this is Allah talking to Muhammad, Muhammad, tell mankind, if ye love Allah, follow me. So Allah is telling Muhammad to tell the believers to follow him. Verily, in the messenger of Allah, you have a good example for him to looketh upon Allah and the last day and remembereth Allah much. What does Islam teach? So Islam is following Allah and Muhammad. 14% of the text in Islam is the Quran. The life and teachings of Muhammad make up 86% of Islam. That consists of the Sirah, which is the biography written 100 years or so later after Muhammad died. That's the biography of Muhammad and all his sayings and things that other people said about him, like Aisha, his wife, her sayings about Muhammad and how Muhammad lived his life are found in the Hadith. And Islam is to study that and follow that perfectly. So I'm going to quickly go through the Sirah, because if you want to read, understand Islam, you have to start with putting a chronology in the Quran, putting a story in the Quran. And if you want to see the references, I've got the references to Isak is the official English translation of the Sirah, so I can give you the references for all these. So it starts with Muhammad in Mecca. This is a polytheistic pagan culture with the Kaaba in the middle, and there are idols to 360 tribal gods in the Kaaba. So clearly polytheistic culture. The Quraysh worshipped, Muhammad's tribe worshipped Allah, and Allah was a male moon god. So that's the origin of Muhammad. So he was born in 570. Again, here's the Sirah. Here's Muhammad's life in a nutshell. Born in 570. His dad died before he was born. His mom dies when he's 5. He goes to live with his grandfather. His grandfather dies when he's 8. He goes to live with his uncle, who works caravan trade. And in his teens, he works as a shepherd and occasionally goes along with his uncle on caravan trips. He then starts working for Khadija in his 20s. When he is 25 and Khadija is 40, she proposes marriage to him. So he agrees, they get married, and they have 6 kids. At age 40, he has his first revelation. So here's the cave that's revered as the location where he supposedly had his revelation. But he just didn't like the polytheistic culture. He's retreating to worship Allah, his tribe's religion. He goes away for long times, prays, and at this point he supposedly has a revelation by the angel Gabriel, and he's instructed to recite. Well, he thinks that this is a demon, that's talking to him, and he decides to try to kill himself and by jumping off a cliff. And the angel stops him from jumping off a cliff. He goes and he tells his wife, Khadijah. Khadijah talks to her, is it cousin? Cousin. Christian cousin. And the Christian cousin assures him that he's a prophet of God. Please tell me that's not true. But that's true. So, here's an example of the first Quran of the two Qurans. This is Muhammad in Mecca when he's just starting, and he only talks to his family about it for a couple of years. So here is Surah 109. Say, O disbelievers, I worship not that which ye worship, nor worship ye that which I worship, and I shall not worship that which ye worship, nor will ye worship that which I worship. Unto you your religion, and unto me my religion. So there's a summary. This is the kind of thing you'll see quoted on the TV all the time, that Islam is, it's open and friendly and non-confrontational, and this is what you hear quoted on TV then. So 3 years later, after talking, he decides to go public, and he starts to preach. He becomes increasingly contentious, saying that if you don't follow me, you and your ancestors will burn in hell forever. Now, I don't know if that's part of a Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People course, but I don't think it is somehow then. So he is accused of plagiarizing the ancients. He's accused of plagiarizing. Again, he claims that Moses and Jesus and Adam and all the Old Testament figures are in there. But he didn't quite get it right from the slave with whom he talked in the market. But nonetheless, there it is. Hostility increases. So when he's 49, Khadijah dies and his uncle dies. So now's a good time to skip town. But he marries Salda, and then maybe your reaction will be the same as some of my early reactions. He then becomes engaged to Abu Bakr's daughter, Aisha, when she's age 6. Later, he acknowledges the Meccan goddesses. You know, he's getting a lot of hostility, so he gets a revelation and says, no, well, you know, the Meccan goddesses, really, they're okay too, not only Allah, but Allah and these. They're happy, you know, the end of conflict, right? They're happy. Well, no, not quite, because he later recants these verses and said that they were given to him not by Allah, but by the devil. So these are called the satanic verses. How many of you have heard the term satanic verses? Okay, those were given to him. He claimed they were part of the Quran and then later recanted. Okay, so now when he's 52, he goes to Medina in Saudi Arabia. You can see Mecca here. Medina's up here. And here's an example from the Quran version 2. Here's an example from Muhammad version 2. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No. Good grief. Surah 9:5, the next to the last revelation. So here's like Muhammad's parting words. Then when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them and take them captive and besiege them and prepare for them each ambush. But if they repent and establish worship, meaning worship of Allah, and pay the portax, jizya, you could live under Muhammad's rule if you acknowledged him and if you paid, people were paying 50% of their income to Allah. That's how he funded a lot of his campaigns. Then leave them free. Lo, Allah's forgiving, merciful. Oh, what a wonderful guy then. So at age 52, he consummates his marriage with Aisha. She's 9 years old. And he's 52. Due to her age, she's allowed to bring her dolls with her into the harem. So here is the hadith. Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are the two sources of Sunni, the majority of Muslims. So there are many, many other teachings, but these are sahih. These are approved. These are the approved ones. So this is Hadith 234. Narrated Aisha, the Prophet engaged me when I was a girl of 6 years. We went to Medina and stayed at the home of this person. Then I got ill and my hair fell down. Later on, my hair grew again, and my mother, Rumman, came to me while I was playing. I need to turn around because that's too small. While I was playing in a swing with some of my girlfriends, she called me, and I went to her not knowing what she wanted to do with me. She caught me by the hand and made me stand in the door of the house. I was breathless then, and when my breathing became all right, she took some water and rubbed my face and head with it. Then she took me into the house. There in the house, I saw some Ansari women who said, "Best wishes and Allah's blessing and a good luck." And she entrusted me to them, and they prepared me for the marriage. Unexpectedly, Allah's apostle came to me in the forenoon, and my mother handed me over to him. And at that time, I was a girl of 9 years. I'm just the messenger. So the Quran actually teaches that men can have 4 wives. Muhammad has lots of convenient revelations. One of the convenient revelations was that he could have more than 4 wives. 3350. O Prophet, lo, we have made lawful unto thee thy wives, plural, unto whom thou hast paid their dowries, and those whom thy right hand possesseth. Okay, so the term thy right hand possesseth means slaves, means sexual slaves. Okay? In addition to his wives. And those whom Allah has given thee as spoils of war, and a privilege for thee only, and not for the rest of believers. So he has a special revelation from God that he can have more than 4 wives. So here he is in Mecca with Khadija, and then marries Sawa right before he moves to Medina, marries Aisha right afterward. He's 52, and then he has a whole series of other wives in a quick succession. Okay, so when he's 54, he starts jihad. He starts attacking the caravans, and he knows them well because he used to work in the caravans. And a famous battle when he's 54 happens, the Battle of Badr with the Meccans. Here's Bill Warner. Muhammad and his men head out for Medina for what would prove to be one of the most important battles in all history, a battle that would change the world forever. Okay, so here is from Isak. This is the Sirah. By Allah, every man who is slain this day, fighting with courage and advancing, not retreating, will enter paradise. Come on. The Sirah. As the bodies were dragged to a well, one of the Muslims saw the body of his father thrown in. He said, "My father was a virtuous, wise, kind, and cultured man, and I had hoped he would become a Muslim. He died a kafir. His abode is hellfire forever." Before Muslim, the killing of kin and tribal brother had been forbidden since the dawn of time. After Islam, brother would kill brother and son would kill their fathers, fighting in Allah's cause, jihad. Bill Warner. Come on. Blah, 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 more military conquest. Blah, 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 more military conquest. He dies in Medina. So what's the influence here? In a 9-year period, Muhammad personally took part, this is in Medina, in 27 raids. There were 38 other battles and expeditions. This is a total of 65 armed events, not including assassinations and executions, for an average of 1 armed event every 6 weeks. So here he is in Mecca. In 13 years, he converted 150 people as a religious teacher. Then he moves from Mecca to Medina. He now becomes a politician and practices jihad. He dies 9 years later with 100,000 people, Islam, and basically Arabia is conquered. There were Jews there and other polytheists. At first he was friendly to Jews and he was friendly to the Christians. Then when he moved, there were no Jews in Mecca. When he moved to Medina, they looked at his revelation of the Old Testament and told him he was wrong. His response is to become enemies with them. And he didn't really become enemies with the Christians because he died, but he was on the way of conquering Syria and the other Christian countries. So he did become enemies with them, but very late as they started opposing him and the things that he said. What's the influence of Muhammad? Nabil Qureshi, I left Islam because I studied Muhammad's life. So people are not taught what Muhammad says. That's what David Wood did. He looked at every claim that Nabil came up with as a defense for Islam. And then David opened up these books and showed them from the Muslim literature that it weren't necessarily so. And 3.5 years it took him, 3.5 years to change his mind. What does Islam teach about the Jews? Again, they are the most hated people on the planet. Thou will find the most vehement of mankind in hostility to those who believe to be the Jews and the idolaters. They're the ones who are most hostile to Islam, according to the Quran. This is Quran. Sahih Muslim, the Sunnah. The last hour will not come unless the Muslims will fight against the Jews and the Muslims will kill them. So when Muslims kill all the Jews, then we are ready for time to end and Jesus will return of all things. Jesus will return. So that's so good, golly, Miss Molly. There we go. So anti-Jew text in the trilogy, the Meccan Quran, 1%. Then he moves to Medina, 17% of the wording of the Quran is anti-Jewish. You can see the Sirah, the Hadith, and the trilogy is almost 10% anti-Jewish. There you go. Again, there were almost no Jews in Mecca. The Jews made up half of Medina. There were three tribes. He's going to kill the first tribe. Someone comes to plead with him not to kill them. And so he lets them escape and confiscates all their property. The second of the third groups, he burns their crops and allows them to leave. The third group of Jews in Medina, they surrender. So he rounds up 800 men. He digs a trench in the middle of the city, and he decapitates 800 men. He watches with his bride Aisha, who's I think 12. He watches all day while his men decapitate the 800 men. The women and the children are sold, including sold for pleasure. One Jewish woman is kept for Muhammad's pleasure. So the prospects for Middle East peace are, let's see, what's it teach about you? What does Islam say about you? Again, the Bible's corrupt. The real Bible is the Quran. The Quran has superseded everything you are holding in front of you, if you have it. It's corrupt. It's not to be trusted. True Christians are those who follow what Muhammad says about Christianity. If you don't follow what Muhammad says about Christianity, you're not a Christian. When you're talking to Muslims, you know, you talk about, I'm a Christian, you got to be sure that what they're thinking of and what you're thinking of are like light years apart then. So according to the Quran, there is no Trinity. The Quran teaches that the Father came to earth, had sex with Mary, and brought forth a son, Jesus. Okay, that's what they think the Trinity is. O people of the Scripture, do not exaggerate in your religion, nor utterly aught concerning Allah, save the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of Allah, and his word, which he conveyed unto Mary, and a spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his messenger, and say not three, cease, it's better for you. Allah is only one, Allah. Far as it is removed from his transcendent majesty, that he should have a son. Okay, Jesus was created from the dust, according to the Quran. Jesus is not divine. And when Allah said, O Jesus, son of Mary, didst thou say unto mankind, take me and my mother for two gods beside Allah? He said, be glorified. It was not mine to utter that which I knew had no right. So Jesus says even he is not divine. Jesus told others not to believe in him. Lo, Jesus says, Allah is the Messiah, son of Mary. The Messiah himself said, O Christians of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Lo, whoso ascribeth partners to Allah, for him Allah hath forbidden paradise. So you don't, according to Islam, you don't believe that Jesus, well, Jesus told others not to believe in him then. Jesus predicted Muhammad's coming as the last messenger then. Jesus was not crucified. Again, the quotes are from the Quran. And because of their saying, we slew the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, Allah's messenger, they slew him not, nor crucified him not. But it appeared so unto them. So they think that another person was crucified, and that other person was transformed to look like Jesus, and that other person was crucified in the visage of Jesus. But they appeared to do so. Okay, so what happens to a person who follows Muhammad's definition of Christianity? Fight against such as those who have been given the scripture as believe not in Allah nor the last day and forbid not that which Allah has forbidden by his messenger and follow not the religion of truth until they pay the tribute being brought low. So if you are willing to agree with Muhammad that Jesus was not crucified, Jesus is not God, all those other things, then you may live if you submit, let them basically, you kneel to them, and you pay half of your income or whatever, you know, whatever they can get out of you, then you are allowed to live. You are a dhimmi, a Jew or a Christian who agrees to be a second-class citizen politically, culturally, and religiously. The dhimmi sacrifices all civil rights and pays the jizya tax, this tax. But I'm a Christian, you say, and I follow the Bible. I don't agree with what Muhammad says about me. Fine, you are not a Christian, you are an infidel. You are not a Christian, you are an infidel. So, what, and the word technically is kafir. So what does what do these books say about the kafir? 37% of the hadith is dedicated to unbelievers, you and me. 81% of the sirah is dedicated to how to treat them. 64% of the Quran, giving an average of, what does it say, 51%, is not how to worship Allah, but how to treat unbelievers, how to treat kafirs, how to treat infidels. So, kafirs are evil. Kafirs can be lied to. This is actually promoted. It's called taqiyya. You can lie to people as long as you're advancing Islam. You can lie to people. When you see people who are proclaiming Islam and you say, that's not true, you are right. But they are allowed to advance their religion by lying to you. It's called taqiyya, as I said, sacred deception. Sahih Bukhari, again, this is one of the two hadiths collections. Muhammad, who will kill Kabin Ashraf, who has offended Allah and the Prophet, a Muslim? I will, Muhammad. Would you have me do so? Yes. In order to kill him, I will need to deceive him. May I do that? Muhammad, yes. So do whatever you do. Do whatever you can do. Kafirs are cursed. Muslims are not to become friends of kafirs. Let not the believers take disbelievers for their friends in preference to believers. Kafirs could be terrorized. When the Lord inspired the angels saying, I am with you, so make those who believe stand firm. I will throw fear into their hearts. Allah is throwing fear into the hearts of anybody who doesn't trust and the messenger. Then smite the necks and smite them on each finger. Here is Muhammad's next to the last sirah, his next to the last revelation as he's dying. 9:5. Then when the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them and take them captive and besiege them and prepare for them each ambush. But if they repent and establish worship and pay the poor tax, leave them free. Lo, Allah is forgiving, merciful. fight against those who have been given the scripture as believe not in Allah or in the last day, and forbid not that which Allah hath forbidden by his messenger, and allow not the religion of truth until they pay the tribute readily, being brought low. So here's jihad. 2% of the verses on jihad say it are an inner struggle. You'll have people say, well, jihad means an inner struggle. Correct. That's 2% of it. But here you go. Hadith, 21%. 67% in the Sirah, 9% in the Quran. Now, fighting isn't always just fighting. When you have people like David Wood making posts or Nabil Qureshi making posts, you are fighting jihad if you slander them, if you get online. There's keyboard jihadis as well. Any way that you're fighting for Islam, you are obeying Allah when you do that. So it's not just limited to actual warfare. And so it continues, the religion of peace. So here we go. List of killings in the name of Islam. I did this the 13th, which was Friday. So as this year, as of Friday, there were 1,644 Islamic attacks in 57 countries, in which 11,156 people were killed and 11,397 were injured. So Josh has plenty of fodder for telling us about persecution. So here is Friday when I did this in the morning. Pakistan on Friday, one killed. A Taliban gunned down a TV journalist. In Egypt, Thursday. Egypt, Cairo, one. Coptic priest hacked to death on the street. Syria, Thursday, 50 killed. Three suicide bombers target a group of refugees, killing at least 50. Egypt, Thursday, six killed, four injured. Fundamentalist attack on a police checkpoint leaves six dead. Thursday, Iraq, 11 died, 20. 11 patrons at a cafe are vaporized by a suicide bomber. Wednesday, Syria. Should I go on, or this is adequate, I think, to build the case? So here's the real Muslim. Again, both are Muslim because there are two Qurans. There's the Quran of Mecca, and there's the Quran of Medina. There's the Muhammad of Mecca, there's the Muhammad of Medina. And Mecca has been superseded by Medina. Those verses have been abrogated. So what about the person who seems nice and with whom I work? They, like Nabil, have been told their whole life that Islam is a peaceful religion. They are not encouraged to read the Quran. They only listen to what their imams tell them. And when they're in the minority, this is a very peaceful group, just like Muhammad was at first. And as the numbers grow in a population, the contention grows. Because if you summarize all of Islamic teaching, you get Sharia law. And Sharia law is God's revelation through the Quran, the Sirah, Quran first, but Sirah and Hadith. And if it's God's law, it is to replace all man-made laws like the Constitution of the United States and every other government. So as you see populations grow, you see Sharia implemented more and more then. So, again, how do we treat Muslims? And the answer is love them. How was I any different in my actions and thoughts toward others before becoming a believer and after becoming a believer? Have I ever had thoughts of wanting to vaporize other people? I say to my shame, yes, many times. There, but by the grace of God, go I. So, draw near to people with whom we disagree. Don't put them off. Draw near to that people. Love them. 3.5 years, that's a long time to be that close to somebody and doing nothing but slugging it out. They talked about other things, but slugging out the differences until Nabil agreed. I left Islam when I studied Muhammad. I became a Christian when I studied Jesus. Thanks.